morning. My name is Rafael Yakumilikovsky of the Friedman Kollel, I'm the director of CUNY Learning. I want to thank everybody who came out here to learn, to hear the shiurim, especially the Rosh Kollel who gave the classes, and the other teachers, Rabbi Grossman and Mrs. Carl, Mrs. Marin, Mrs. Stern. Thank you very much. And the biggest thank you is to everybody who came here to show that it's an important thing now before Shavuos to have this, like the many years ago when the Torah was given, Vayichan Sham Neged Ahar, it says the Jewish people camped as one in front of Har Sinai. That's how they were able to be Zoche, to receive the Torah. So today we got together before Shavuos also to come together as one before Shavuos. And also, just a quick message from this week's parasha. Also, we saw it wasn't a one-time coming together around the Torah, but when they were camped in the Midbar, the Jewish people were camped around the Torah, and that's what unified them as one. So throughout the year, hopefully we'll also have other opportunities to get together to us and to spread it even more throughout the community, that for Shavuos and throughout the year, the way that we come together as one, as a Kiddush Hashem, like we did today, to learn about the sugya of Kiddush Hashem, is through the Torah. So I want to just ask the Rishiva, Ron Lapiansky, to say a few words for us to sum up all the different classes we heard and to take it with us to our daily lives and before Shavuos about Kiddush Hashem. Thank you.
I'm going to try without the mic if the acoustics are okay, with your permission. It's a tremendous inspiration to see a crowd like this. And I'd like, before I speak a few words about Kiddush Hashem, I'd like to express something about what it is that a day like this does. There's a Gemara that says in Kedushin, Lo yevoshu ki yedabru es oivim bashar. It's a pasuk in Tehillim that they will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gateway. As a kind of oxymoron, it's you're speaking with somebody and the person is an enemy. So who are those enemies in the gateway? Gateway tends to be an expression, an idiom used for a bet din, a place of study. So the Gemara says, Amar Priya Baba, Afilu Ha'avu Bno, even if you have a father and a son, Harav Talmido, and a teacher and a student, She'oskim b'Torah b'shar echad, that they're in one hall engaged in studying, Nasim Oivim Ze'eseh, they become enemies. A certain level of enmity is expressed in the give and take. Interesting. And it says, Ve'enam zazim isham, but they don't leave the place, Ad shenasim ovim ze'aseh, until they love each other. Shenema esvoev besufa, I'll take you besufa besofa. So it's a drasha on a pasuk, that at the end of it, they come together. If we think about it, it's strange. You know, you're telling me I have a problem and a fix. So let's not study together, and we won't need to wait until the end to become friends. Why don't we just skip the studying if we become enemies through studying, and we'll start off with the friendship? So I think the emphasis here is on both halves. Let's take an example. Imagine I'm sitting with somebody in a room, and I think it's too hot, and he thinks it's too cold. One of us will acquiesce. And it's nice of whoever it is that says, okay, have it your way. But it's at the price of realizing myself. So I will suffer discomfort. So at the end of the event, I suffer discomfort for the sake of unity, friendship, etc., peace. So it's nice. But first of all, the stresses and strains still remain. Because at the end of it, I've been repressed. My needs, desires have been sort of shunted aside, pushed aside. But, you know, you give up things. Compromises are important in life, but you can't call that love, friendship, a bonding of any sort. Every person is different and needs to find his self. And the only process that will allow for both of it, usually one is at the price of the other. It's me versus the peace of living with people. Torah in itself has a unique quality that when people are engaged in studying, there are two minds clashing. The so-called enmity, it's intellectual enmity, in the sense that I understand it this way, he understands it that way, and we need to keep going back and forth with that if I'm to realize myself and he's to realize himself. God gave each one of us a mind that's slightly different, and when we come and we oppose each other, what we're doing actually is, from my point of view and your point of view, working to get to the truth. I'll bring proof from the text, you bring proof. I'll refute your proof, you refute my proof. When that process comes to its conclusion, that's when you have a peace that's not at the price of every single person's self, but rather it's a conclusion where at the end of the day, we've been both going back and forth for 2 hours to try to get to the truth of it. Me and you have the same exact goal, and we're working, we're locking horns in tandem, which is almost an oxymoron. And so when we get to the end of it, and at least even if we haven't reached a common conclusion, but if we have a common understanding, the problem has become so much more clear by having the different points of view put crystallized, put into perspective, and shown their weaknesses and strengths. You have an extraordinary bond that's a real bond of friendship, not at the price of every person's self. It's a realization of each person's self, and yet an extraordinary bonding. I remember when, this must be about 18 years ago or so, I was walking out of the Mira Beis Medrash, and there are about 800 people sitting and learning, very animated. It was the morning, the mid-morning, and the noise and the animation was deafening. And outside was standing a non-Jew, and he stops me, and he says he's a reporter for a Philadelphia newspaper, and he's doing a big piece on Israel on its 50th birthday. This was like the 48th year of Israel. It was kind of, he was preparing. And one of the places he had come to was a yeshiva. And he was looking through the window, and it blew his mind. And he asked me, does it actually get to blows as well? And like, I looked for a minute, I couldn't understand where he was coming from. And I said, no, this actually deepens friendships. And he had no idea what I was talking about. I mean, when he saw that type of animation, is usually a few minutes before the cops had to come and break it up. That was his picture of it. But I think it's important, we speak a lot about the unity of community, and it's very important. When you have a community barbecue of sorts and events, it's nice, it's good. At the end of the day, friendship and getting along is a very important value. But almost every activity is at a certain price of not, for the good of the community, I'm drawing back. The only activity that really gives you that chance to be yourself, to express yourself, to put what you are on the table, and to walk away with unity is studying Torah. You need, obviously, the animated chavrusa learning is the best, like it says here. A shir where people prepare, in order to do it well, it's not enough to yell and scream, you actually have to have what to yell and scream about. And putting effort in to make learning active rather than passive is the key to it. When a person prepares, mulls it over, and thinks about things, he has important points to offer. Thank God our community is blessed with 4 kolim, and each and every one is busy doing their shiurim and chavrusa learning. I'd like to bring out the point that this is not only a way of spreading Torah, this is a certain way to bring achdus. When people are engaged fully in study, which means it takes a certain amount of effort and a certain level of competence, obviously, and intellectual honesty, the give and take is tremendous because it sharpens 2 sides or 3 sides or how many people there are involved. And finally, when the dust settles and everyone begins to see approximately where the truth lies, you have a coming together that incorporates both the individual's self and the community as a whole. It's a tefillah looking around, seeing, and I walked in, just saw what was going on. We should be able to do much learning, much active learning, and it should produce both Torah and Shalom and Achdus and Ava. I'd like to, I guess, maybe some of these points were touched on Kiddush Hashem. I'd like to sort of get an understanding of the concept of Kiddush Hashem and understand what it's about. I'd like to make an observation. There are no mitzvahs that require more than one Jew, except for technical reasons. For instance, if you have a Sanhedrin, if you have a court needs three people, you obviously need three people. The Rambam paints a village, a minimal needed for a Sanhedrin, simply the amount of people. You need a Sanhedrin, you need the witnesses, and so on. So that's a technical necessity, obviously. For Kedushin, you need two people. But there is nothing about any mitzvah where the Torah gave any limit or minimal amount of people. Even davening, it's enhanced when you have a tzibur, but it's not mandatory. You can daven yourself. The only mitzvah that has a requirement of 10 people is Kiddush Hashem. And from the Rabbanan, the rabbinic law, those items that are called davashe b'kedusha require 10 people. Kaddish, Kedusha, and so on require 10 people. So of all the halachas, all the mitzvahs, there is no minimal requirement of people. The only one that has it is Kiddush Hashem, and those items that the rabbis called Kedusha. Besides a play on words, what exactly is implied by the concept Kedusha? What is, I mean, God forbid somebody having to, you know, being put to death for keeping mitzvahs, and somebody saying Kaddish Kaddish in a shul, there's a big gap. It's, yes, this is called Kedusha, this is called Kedusha. So what is the similarity? Why does it require 10 people? Kedusha we can't say, Kaddish we can't say without 10 people. Davening we daven. It's better to do it to the tzibur, but not. So let's explore a little bit the concept of Kiddush Hashem. The halacha of it, that needing 10 people, I'm sure you've, in different shiurim, it would have come up, whether it's on all the mitzvahs, on some of the mitzvahs, but the point that there are requirements of 10 people exists over here. So I would like to use a concept that the Maral uses a lot. When he explains the concept of Kedusha, and what is Kedusha? The Maral constantly exchanges it with, or qualifies it with, a concept called Nivdal. And it's really a pasuk, if you think about it. There's a pasuk, Vayibodel Aaron Lakdisho Kodesh Kadoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated Aaron to be Kodesh Kadoshim. In other words, Kedusha is something that is separated. We have it, for instance, Zeh Shem Shabbos LeKadsho. Zochi Yom Shabbos LeKadsho requires that we make Kiddush and Havdalah. The two endposts of Shabbos are Kiddush and Havdalah, and this goes into the obligation of Zochi Yom Shabbos LeKadsho. So the Maral, in many places, different ways, explains the concept of Kedusha. Kedusha is an entity. Kedusha is something that transcends the other elements within the world. For instance, there are physical necessities, eating, drinking, etc. That's very worldly. There are things needed for society to run well. If I'm to have my meal and you're to have your meal, we need commerce, we need laws governing the commerce, we need different things to take care of it. And there are different rules and regulations that deal with it. And so those rules and regulations are not physical realities, but the physical necessities to allow for a physical world to run and to supply physical needs. There are different items that really have nothing to do with this world. There are, Kedusha relates to a realm that really has nothing in common to physical world. It relates to ideals and that transcend the physical world, and there's no way to connect it to really. So anytime we deal with something that's called Kedusha, we're talking about something that is nivdal, that doesn't share a common denominator with any physical experience that we have. But there's a caveat. Nothing in this world exists without some sort of container for it. For instance, let's take the thing that we can, the best example that we personally can experience, and that's the body and the soul. There are no souls in this world without bodies. That's Olam Haba. This world, for a soul to function, to have a Moshe Rabbeinu, to have anyone, he needs a real body. And yet, the body and the soul are totally distinct. You have a mind and a brain. God forbid if there's damage to the brain, the mind is affected. I think Mark Twain once remarked cynically, sarcastically, that how come that when the stomach drinks, the brain stops functioning? Like, how does the mind get drunk when the stomach gets drunk? That was a sort of, but it is like that. The brain is a piece of flesh. But, and everyone understands that the mind is something beyond the brain, but it sits only on the brain. It's like a flame that's on a wick. It needs the wick, but the flame itself is something that sort of transcends it. So the picture of Kedusha in the world is God within the world, the soul within the body, the realm of mitzvahs and Torah within the world. That is the picture of Kedusha. So you need to have a body, you need to have a physical container for it, and you need to have content. The concept of content speaks to it. When I say something is in a box, it's content to a box. What we mean is it's not the box, but without the box, it will disperse. So we have a concept of container and that which is contained, and that goes to the fundamental structure of the world, where the world is a container for something greater than itself, for something that is not of the world. The container is not metal all the way through. The container is hollow and contains something. The pasuk tells me, "V'nikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael." My kedusha, the kedusha will appear within the Jewish people. The concept of toch, of something being a vessel or container for something, and what it contains is beyond it. That's v'nikdashti besoch bnei Yisrael. When we have the Jewish people, every single one of us is an individual. But when we have a group, when we have a tzibur, a community, a nation, the content that we possess is greater than anything, anyone, or even the sum of all of us. Just like the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash, is stones and wood and gold and all sorts of things, but that which it contains is beyond stone and wood and gold and so on. As a nation, when each and every one of us is a brick, when we get together at a minimum of 10 people, which is a minimum number, then we have all of a sudden a spirit of a Klal Yisrael, which is Kedusha, which is a divine spark in a much different dimension than an individual divine spark, that is present there. It's almost counterintuitive. We would think that the biggest Kedusha would be 10 Goyim, and the biggest chil Hashem would be 10 goyim, you know, a shand of the goyim and this and that. But it's not like that. It's 10 Jews, because any time an individual acts on his own, it's about him. He might be Jewish, he might be this, he might be that, but it's something that it's about him. When you have a group of 10, it transcends. The Maral says in many places, the number, the significance of number 10, if you think about it, it's one of the hard things for kids to latch onto the concept. When you have up to 10 entities, when you have 9 items, it's very easy to understand the representation of numbers. It's 1, 2, 3, and so on. That 10 is a 1, it's one of tens. Well, what does one of tens mean? And depending on different years, sometimes they teach math very practically, sometimes they teach it very abstract. It goes back and forth. But it's very hard to understand that. It's one of tens. What does that mean, one of tens? But 10 is something, it's in the number system that we live with. 10 is the number that becomes something greater than any one individual number. 6, 7, 8, 9 are just, all it does is, it's a natural progression of individual items. When you get to 10, you have something new is created, a unit of tens. Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael the ability to host a soul of the nation. And that's when you have 10 people together. We have individual souls, and that's one thing we exhibit, and then we have a soul of the people together. Kiddush Hashem is when that soul displays itself as transcending simple physical activities. When we get together and we do things together that are nice, that's great. And again, unity is a fantastic thing. But when you get together and something greater than a physical life emerges, it's seen as the soul of Klal Yisrael. And that's the Kedusha of a Nikdash Tipzot Bnei Yisrael. The Rambam says, when he speaks about making Kiddush Hashem individuals and so on, he says that individuals, so he says individuals that are of greater stature have higher expectations, and the line he says is that people see it, and he says they praise him, they love him, and they would like to do what he's doing. They look forward to it. He doesn't quite say that they'll actually emulate what he does. But at least it means people will appreciate there's something more than just the physical individual entities. When a person is mekadesh, in the full sense of the word, mekadesh shem shemayim, and a person gives his life for a mitzvah, the person is making a statement. There is nothing in this world that you will get for sacrificing. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, when he makes a powerful point about the Akedah, he says one of the most powerful messages of the Akedah is there's got to be something more than this world. Because what was he worried about that God would do to him if he wouldn't give up his child? Is there anything this world worse than giving up the child? Yes, you believe God is almighty and all everything. But what's the trade-off? It must be that this world and everything in it, there's something greater than that. And that's what he was angling at. When we get together as a tzibur, when we get together, at least 10 of us, we have the potential to bring out something greater than any one of us. Whenever we're engaged in activities as a group, as a community, then if we do things that require sacrifice, where people say, you know, if an individual keeps Shabbos, it's nice. If a community keeps Shabbos, it says, you know, there's something more than the dollar to be made on the job. There's something more because an entire community lives up to it. When you set aside time to study, It's one of those things I think we take for granted, that is there another religion? That religions have charity, many religions, prayer. Is there another religion that has, on a significant holiday, people sitting and studying all night long? Imagine you come back to work after July 4th and you ask somebody, hi, how'd you spend the weekend? He says, oh, we sat up all night studying the Constitution. We thought it's very, very important. I mean, you would think that even as a joke, it's pretty outrageous. I mean, you know, it's... And we sit as a group and study. The things that we do that require taxation of our resources, we send our kids to yeshivas and to schools. It's incredible. The vast majority of what we are spending is financial planners come and go, and you tell them you're spending, 80% of your budget. This is what your money's going for. But as a group, it's an incredible statement that the values we live for are beyond what the physical world has. The two elements of Kiddush Hashem are Besop and Yisrael and Mikdashti. Hashem should not test us with the extreme of Kiddush Hashem. My parents will still survive, some your parents would be, but we should give us many opportunities. We have many opportunities for Kiddush Hashem together. When a group of 100, 200 people in a shul sit for 2.5 hours and don't shmooze with each other, socializing is not Kiddusha. That's common. Put out a few drinks and you socialize. That's not. But when you sit and everybody's davening together, that's an incredible Kiddush Hashem. Something more than each individual person emerges, a sense of a community davening. Communities come together to learn Torah days like this. Communities come together to build the institutions of yeshivas, schools, with great financial stress. It really is. Those are Kiddush Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the opportunity and the strength and the understanding to grab those opportunities, that we should come together as a tzibur, b'chtoch Bnei Yisrael, and we should bring out in us the v'nikdashti b'sof Bnei Yisrael.
I just thank you, people. Thank you, Rabbi Levyansky, for the words. Thank you, two people that wouldn't have been possible to have this day without them, Rabbi Yosef Friedman, the Jewish Learning Exchange, and Mr. Alan Reinitz. And Mr. Alan Reinitz of Beth Shalom, Executive Director, was extremely helpful. We couldn't have done it without him. Just one final thing. Like we said, we'd like to do events like this more often. If anybody has any good ideas, any feedback, any ways we could do this in a better way, or any other suggestion, please go onto the website, dctorini.com, go to the contact, send a message. We'll be looking. We'd like to all get together as much as we can for events like this. Thank you very much.